And turning over in the Old Testament to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 1, Deuteronomy chapter 6. We've been looking at the Lord moving His people into the promised land here, and Deuteronomy literally means second law. And so Moses, before God called him home, is giving this generation, this new generation, an opportunity to be taught in the Word of God and the ways of the Lord. They haven't had much teaching. The only people that have been teaching them were a bunch of backslidden folks that God is just waiting around for them to die off so that He can do something in that generation of folks who were under 20 years of age when they failed the Lord at Kadesh Barnea and refused by faith to go in to the promised land. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord picks up and He starts teaching His people here about family life. And the very things that the Lord teaches about family life to this new generation of folks that are going into the promised land, why, it's just as applicable to us as it was to them. The Lord gave some fantastic things and we want to see them. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it." So I've got some things I want you to learn. I want you to hear them. And then He's going to start off talking in verse 2 about fearing the Lord. And that's a pretty good thing. If a family fears God, things are going to go well. It says, verse 2, "that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy sons and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and thou may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey." And I believe with all my heart, you know, the Lord wanted them to succeed in the promised land. And I believe today, in these last days, God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed. God loves to pour out His blessing on His people. Now, He can't do it when we do wrong. I mean, that would be reinforcing the wrong things. And so He's giving some instructions about family life and the way to conduct themselves. He says down in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And then verse 5, one of the most important verses in the Bible, when a group of people tried to trap Jesus to say something that they could accuse Him of before the Romans so that He would be crucified, they ask Him, "Tell us what you think is the number one commandment. What is it?" Of course, they were always arguing over a bunch of foolishness. The things that really mattered, they didn't pay attention to. And they paid attention to a bunch of foolishness. And that is, they tried to rank in order all of these 300 plus commandments that they found in the Old Testament. And the Lord said, "Here it is. Number one, here's number two." And this is the one the Lord said was number one. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." And I believe tonight that is extremely important to God. He knows the affections of your heart. Our God is a jealous God. He is jealous over your continual affection and love for Him. And there are so many things that call for our affection. And remember, the second one was to love thy neighbor as thyself. And if we could get those down and appreciate and understand those and practice those, we'd have a much better family life and we'd have a much better church life, wouldn't we? It says in verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And then in verse 7, He gave some instruction on how that these great commandments should be taught to the next generation. Here was a young generation of people who are going in, those people that were younger than 20 years of age when the nation refused and rebelled against God and wouldn't believe God and failed at Kadesh Barnea. And please remember, these aren't necessarily spring chickens. He's not leading a bunch of 18-year-olds and 15-year-olds. 38 years have passed since that moment. So somebody 19, you had 38, and you know, not everybody's a spring chicken over here. But He's telling them how to order their family life. And you'd be a wise person if you'd give attention to what God says. In verse 6, it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Wow. If you have the Lord in your heart, you have His Word in your heart, and you believe the principles of His Word. Principles are responses, hard attitudes and responses that God wants me to have in every circumstance and situation. And if I believe those things, then what a blessing they can be. In fact, it's not just what I tell people. It's really what I am in private. And I believe that people begin to read your heart in private. No one reads your heart quite like your family does. They know what you really are when you take your Sunday go meeting clothes off and put your civilian clothes on. Down verse 8 says, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." And down verse 13, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around about you. For the Lord thy God is," and he emphasizes it, doesn't he? He's a jealous God. He wants your affection. He wants your attention. And there are so many things calling for our affection and attention. And God tells us, "I'm a jealous God." That's not changed. God never changes. And he communicates who he is and gives us an understanding through the experiences of the children of Israel. It says in verse 16, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers." You know, I believe that one of the things that we would like to have, and it's very popular today, let me give you five things that'll make you a fabulous marriage. Let me give you five things that'll make you the best parent who ever lived. And we read those five things and we look at them. But I can get it down to one. I can get it down to one tonight. And I appreciate you taking a moment and thinking about this one thing, and that's this. The key to your success as a family member, whether it's being a son or a daughter, whether it's being an aunt or an uncle, a grandparent, a grandpa, you know, a great-grandpa, great-grandma, whether it's being a husband or a wife, is that you be the right kind of person. All right, you know, it all comes down to our hearts and being the right kind of person before the Lord. And, well, just stop right now. Have about four or five verses of invitation. And ask ourselves, Lord, are we the right kind of person? Are the problems that I've encountered this week in my marriage, are they there because, you know what, I was not the right kind of person? Are the problems that you've had with your parents, or the problems you had with your kids, or the problems that you had with your uncle or your aunt, or the problems that you had at work, does it come down to the right heart attitudes here? And we want to be a person who lives in, and God said it here in chapter 6 and verse 1, in the fear of the Lord. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and commandments which I command thee, that thy son and thy son's son all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. In every one of our lives, there is a home setting. We talked about this morning. We had the centurion who God put under his shadow at the cross, and the Lord stationed him in a spot so that he could know the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ was doing, and so that he could acknowledge the truth, and that is surely he is the Son of God. And he proclaimed the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has placed us in a family. And that family that he's placed us in is just like the centurion, so that we can see the Lord Jesus Christ and God can accomplish in our lives the things that he has planned. Over there in that family, the Lord is meeting good old-fashioned basic needs. You know, in our family, we, every one of us, God made us with a need for love. We need affection from others, and we need love. And the Lord gave us a family there for that purpose. Over in our family, we need acceptance. You know, I mean, somebody may think that we're crazy at work and my neighbor may not appreciate me, but you hope that you come inside the walls of your home and that folks accept you and appreciate you. The Lord has given me a home for the purpose of security, a place of security, a place of education, a place for training and life. But tonight, if it's going to work, if it's going to work, it starts with my heart. And tonight, the state of this family life, I can blame it on the devil. I can blame it on this. The state of my family life comes back to the condition and state of my heart. That doesn't mean that with a right heart and a right spirit and a right walk with God that you're not going to encounter problems, but you'll be that person that's there in that setting that is providing the security, is providing the affection, is providing the physical needs, is providing the training and education and pointing everybody in that situation to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty important. A couple of simple things here. Would you notice that how the Lord deals with the issue of the heart in chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, the issues of the heart? And there are some things under that issue. Let me read it. It says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt," and this is important tonight, "God wants my heart to well up with affection for Him." This love that He's talking about is more than affection. It's being willing to do God's bidding and to do what God wants me to do without any desire for anything in return. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." And so let me list a few things here you might be thinking about that passage. What is the Lord saying? Well, number one, He says, if I have the right heart, and again, that doesn't mean there aren't going to be family challenges. That doesn't mean that, you know, we have some kind of ideal that is not real with life. We have sin-cursed world. We have sinful human beings. Things are not always perfect. And if you really want to see that things are not always perfect, all you do is to go in our homes, because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we take off our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. That's where we put in practice the most important principles of God's Word. And it is a challenge in that place. But my heart is going to make the difference of how others are going to respond and how I am going to respond. And the Lord says here in chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, I ought to receive the Lord. What does that mean? Well, what do you mean by that? I got saved. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Is that what you're talking about? Well, yes, it is. But it's more than that. My heart responds to God tonight in one of two ways. Every human being in this place is responding to God in one of two simple ways. Number one, I am receiving the Lord. He is genuinely welcome in my heart and life. I am making an atmosphere inside of my heart spiritually with God's direction that He feels at home in His heart. The Apostle Paul even prayed that for the folks over in Ephesus, that the Lord would be at home in their hearts. And the issue was faith, that their heart was to trust the Lord, and therefore the Lord felt at home in their heart. But he prayed that that might be the case continually. And so I'm either receiving what God is doing in my life, I'm rebelling against the Lord. And tonight, if I'm rebelling, there's no way I can be a help in the situation in my home life. So I want to receive the Lord. Chapter 6 and verse 6, I also want to reflect the Lord. I don't want to reflect somebody's homespun philosophy. I don't want to project some man's ideas. But in verse 6, he says this, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." There's a picture in my mind as a boy, and I had the privilege of being raised in a Christian home. And both my parents loved the Lord Jesus Christ and wanted to serve Him, and it has a profound impact to this hour in my life. But I can remember many times when we would be in the services. My father surrendered his life to the Lord later in life. He did go into the ministry, but he was an usher, and then he's a deacon, and he's a Sunday school teacher and a soul winner. And long before the Lord ever placed a call upon his life and he responded to that call, I can remember going to church just like tonight. And I can remember driving home and hearing the sermon again, because God was moving and working in their hearts, and they were just passing it back and forth. Man, I've never saw that before. Man, that was good. Did you? That was just, that verse is so powerful. And they were talking about things in their lives. They had no knowledge that there were two young people, two kids in the back seat, a mean sister and a wonderful angel like me in the back seat, and that we were listening to everything they said. You know what we figured out? I don't know that we understood every point of the message, but we did understand one thing. It touched their hearts. The Lord was not something they took out and made a show of when they got to church and then went home and did not live that at home. And it made a profound impact. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6, the Lord says, I want you to be that kind of person. It says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. The Word of God is in the heart. That's what the Lord wants. And so I am reflecting the Lord. I'm receiving the Lord. I'm not rebelling against Him. And I'm reflecting accurately the Lord, not my own homespun ideas, not Dr. such and such and what he believes or thinks, but what God has said. And then in chapter 6 and verses 6 through 10, there is a wonderful desire here to relay God's truth. And I've always found this, when you have someone who is receiving the Lord, and when you have someone who is reflecting the Lord, you will have someone who is relaying the truth of God's Word to others. It says in chapter 6 and verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently. Verse 7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And obviously it's talking about going to the store, it's talking about doing the chores around the house, it's talking about just daily life. And God has designed that home to bring everybody in that home under the shadow of the Almighty, just like the centurion. To have a duty station, to understand who Jesus Christ is and what He's about and how to serve Him. And then there's another thing that the Lord wants in that heart, and that is just to remember. He says in verse 12, Deuteronomy 6, verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. You say, that would never happen. Well, I haven't the last few years as much. But in past years in my spiritual life, I kept, I guess, what people would call a journal. And in there were prayer requests and kind of a continual, like a diary, I guess you'd call it. It had scripture and things the Lord showed me or taught me during that time, things we were going through, and how God answered through His Word, and prayers that were offered, blessings, all of those things. Every once in a while, I'll get one of those old ones out, and I will have forgotten about 90% of what the Lord done in my life. And I just have to stop and get right with the Lord. Lord, I have so much to be thankful for. God, forgive me for my lack of gratitude. And tonight, if my heart, and again, we don't need 5, we don't need 10 things for our home life to be what God designed it to be. We just need tonight to be the right kind of person. And it starts with our heart to receive the Lord. I'm not going to rebel against Him. To reflect the Lord, His Word is genuinely in my heart and I believe it. To relay the truth of the Lord to others and to remember the goodness of the Lord. The last issue that God is so concerned about really begins the next thing we want to look at. It's not just their heart, but He wanted their hope to be in Him. And there in verse number 2, He talks about how that hope is to be based. And that hope in the Lord is to be based in the fear of the Lord. It says in verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. And let's read this verse and let me describe what it means. It says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Now, we want to know what God says. We want to know what God expects. And we want to live that way. When a person gets saved, the evidence that they're saved, that their heart is filled with repentance before God, is that they want to do it God's way. They won't want to do it their way. They want to do it God's way. And so God's Word is filled with truths and commandments and principles and judgments. And we want to find those. We want to know, Lord, how am I to treat my wife? What do you expect of me? Lord, how am I to raise my children? What do you expect of me? What is best? And Lord, how do I conduct my business in society? Lord, have you said something about that? Lord, I want to know it. And it's just the heart of those that are saved and know the Lord. They want those things. We don't obey those commands. We don't do those judgments to get saved. Well, that's ridiculous. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we do know that God wants our heart. He wants us to obey Him and love Him and have faith in Him. And that is evidenced by the fear of the Lord. You know, tonight, I do not steal because, number one, we have a church full of cops. And they'll probably catch me and haul me off to jail. And I should be hauled off to jail. I don't want to steal because of that reason. But actually, there's a much higher reason. I don't want to displease God. And in both the Old and the New Testament, God has said, thou shalt not steal. Let him that stole steal no more. I don't want you to steal. I don't want you to take something that doesn't belong to you. You let me provide for you. And you provide within the things that the sweat of your brow brings, and you trust me, and you be content in those things. And so, and there is in every believer that we have to allow the Lord to help us keep on the front burner, and that is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is, and let's go to Proverbs 9 and verse 10 and see it here in the Bible. Perhaps you can already quote that. Maybe you know it well, but in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, if not, it's a good one to highlight. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Let me read that again. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And so tonight, there are about four different aspects of what it means to fear the Lord. Number one, it is reverence. I realize that God tonight, if He should so choose, could stop my heart at any moment. I realize that I have miles and miles of capillaries and arteries, and they all have to function right for me to have health. And the Lord could choose tonight that just one of them, boom. And guess what? I wouldn't be here tomorrow. And it would be a sad thing. And so, you know what? There is a reverence of God. That there is a reverence for Him. There's also a respect for the Lord. And to understand who the Lord is. It happened again the other day. I had jury duty. And each judge is different. But when they came in and introduced the judge, hear ye, the judge of circuit court is now in session, all rise. Well, again, folks are talking and stuff, and not everybody rose, and people had to punch. Because sometimes I was in a similar jury pool setting, and a guy was having such a great time talking to his neighbor, and the judge caught him and said, you there, you in the plaid shirt, is there a reason why you're seated when the bailiff has asked you to stand out of respect to the laws of the land and in my courtroom? Oh, boy, he turned as red as his plaid thing. He said, no, sir, and he stood up. And I understood that there's a level of respect that is due that office and that person. God is my creator. And every day there needs to be a level of respect for Him. And also tonight, it's not just reverence and respect, it's also to respond to the Lord. It's understanding the reality that I'm the creature and He is the creator. And I never can get that backwards. I don't want it to go the other way around. He is the creator. Tonight, there's a great passage. I'm not going to ask you to go there. Genesis 16, verse 13. And this is where Hagar said, thou, God, seest me. She was alone in the wilderness, and she was in need, and she cried out to God, and she said, God saw me. I was out there all alone, and God saw me. Psalm 139, verse 4, not a word in my tongue, but thou knowest it altogether. The psalmist said, listen, I can't even form a word in my mouth that the God of heaven is not aware of it. I need to fear the Lord tonight and have a healthy respect. Now, everything that God has ever done or wants us to do, Satan has a counterfeit. And there is a counterfeit for the fear of the Lord. And it's a strange thing. It's just being afraid of the Lord. Adam and Eve, when the Lord came to fellowship with him, for them, as he always had there in the cool of the evening, to share with them what went on in heaven and to hear the things they'd discovered about all the wonderful things he'd created for them. And the Bible says that he had to cry out to Adam and say, "Where art thou, Adam?" And because Adam had gone and hidden himself, he was afraid of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not being afraid of the Lord. It's not knobby knees that runs and hides from God. Stay away from him. Don't want him in your life. The fear of the Lord embraces the Lord. We reverence him and respect him, but we love him and want him, and we know that we need to follow him. And so tonight, if I'm going to overcome sin, if I'm going to have a long life, if I'm going to find contentment, if I'm going to know what it really is to worship God, which God created me to worship, I'm going to be filled with the fear of the Lord. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, this hope is not just about fearing the Lord, but it's also about loving the Lord. And as we close, I'd love for you to give your attention in these last minutes at what it means to love the Lord. It says in verse 5 of chapter 6, let me start in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." He's not multiple gods. It is one God who's revealed himself in three persons. And in verse 5, what should be my response to that? It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." And then he's going to tell them down in verse 11 and 12, "I'm going to give you all kinds of things that you didn't work for. I'm going to give you all kinds of things, that farms that you didn't plant and vineyards that you haven't cultivated and houses that you haven't built. I'm going to give them to you because I'm God. I can bless you and I will. And that's what I want to do." But the Lord said, "Don't forget me." Verse 15, "For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you." Don't let those things take precedence over the God of heaven. Oh, tonight, my friend, can you translate that? To be the person that God wants you in the family that God has placed you, for you to be the right kind of person, that you can never place the things that God gives above the God himself. Heard of a man many years ago who on a very special occasion gave his wife a very beautiful ring. But the box was absolutely gorgeous, apparently. This is the truth. This is what happened. She opened it and said, "Oh, that's a beautiful ring." And she tried it on, and then she put it down on the table. But she looked at the box and held the box. And when they left, she took the box and she forgot the ring. And they never got the ring back. What a crazy thing that the box that the valuable ring came in caught her attention more than the contents of the box. And you say, that's crazy. I wonder if you'd allow in your devotion life in the morning and you get with God to say, "Oh God, have I done the same thing with you? And I so wrapped up in the things, the house, the car, the clothes, the electronics and things that are in my life, if those become so important to me, and I've let the box be more important than the God who is the heart of the gift that he has given. He didn't give those things so that I would love them. He gave those things so that I would deepen in my love for him and he would meet my needs and, you know, to love him." And that's what he says in verse 5, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Verse 14, 15, "not to make him jealous." Verse 15, "For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." To love the Lord is to be tender and pliable. It's to give attention to the state of your heart toward the God who created you and loved you. There's a daddy who was, and perhaps you saw this, he was He was taking videos of his daughter's graduation. And you know, smartphones are really wonderful, but they are only as smart as the person who operates them. And so we have some limitations sometimes in America. This guy had his phone on and he's taking pictures of his daughter's video, but he had it reversed. So it's pretty much just taking his picture. But you know what? What he took was one of those things that a daughter would treasure forever. As pride and joy and emotions came to him of her taking that huge step in life and beginning the process of going on into adulthood, how moved that he was. It was a beautiful thing. And tonight, if you could just see the state of your heart in relationship to the God who created you, designed you, loved you, He has placed you in the shadow of the Almighty like the centurion. He's placed you in a position to know His Son, Jesus Christ, understand what His Son was doing, understand the innocence of the Savior, and to declare that truly He is the Son of God. He wants you to give attention to your heart, that you be attentive and pliable, that you be single-minded tonight, and that you serve Him, and that you be contrite and humble in His hand. God loves the contrite heart. And what does the contrite heart say? I need God. I can't run my life. I can't resist sin. I need the Lord. And that person trusts and loves the Lord and humbles themselves. You know, the Lord says that we're to love the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul, with all of our might. And our soul is the center of our thinking and reasoning. It's where we come to conclusions. And God tonight wants me to reason well. He wants me to reason well about the Lord. You don't have to come too far to understand the power of God and the person of God. You don't have to attend church too long and you begin to understand God's principles and His Word. And you start realizing, hey, He's right. And how God loves when the Lord asks me to do something and He doesn't even have to explain it. I just say, the Lord asks, that's good enough for me. And I'm not sure how it's going to end, what God wants and the end thing here. But I know that I can trust God. And what a blessing when I love the Lord with my heart and with my soul, which is the seat of where I make my conclusions and reasoning. And then the Lord says with all my might that I would love Him in the physical world. And one of the ways I love Him in the physical world is by being the person that He wants me to be. Let's pray, heads bowed and eyes closed. Our pianist is coming, and in just a moment, as we love to do, if possible, in every service, we love to have a gospel invitation. Perhaps you're here tonight, my friend, and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can't look back upon a time when you realized that you were a sinner and that you weren't going to heaven as you were, and that you needed a Savior, and you understood why Jesus Christ came. He came to die for your sins. And yes, He died for the sins of the whole world, but in your heart you knew He died for yours, and you were willing to receive the gift that He offered, His death, His burial, His resurrection, in payment to a holy God, a just payment, a propitiation, one that God accepted in payment for your sin. And as Jesus cried out from the cross, we talked about this morning, it is finished, an accounting term, which means, hey, the debt is paid. If you can't look back upon a time, tonight's the night. We're going to be standing in just a minute, and I urge you to come and let me help you and get you with a person who would love to take the Bible. Can't go wrong, can you, when you can read it for yourself right there in the Bible, and they'll show you right in the Scriptures God's simple plan of salvation. Take you from A to B to C. It's very simple, and they'll help you to trust Jesus Christ and answer your questions tonight. You may be here, and you're a believer, and you say, listen, you know what? I look at my heart tonight, and I am not what I should be for the Lord. And you know what? I'm in a family, I'm in a setting, in a situation of God's design, and I need to be what I ought to be for God. And tonight is a great night. I know that God's Holy Spirit has a way of filling in the specifics of those things. And if you'll come, He'll help you to be the person that He designed you to be in the family setting that He's placed you in. Father, I'm so thankful for these dear people on this holiday weekend who took this time to come to Your house and be a part of this service. I rejoice in the wonderful truths that we've been able to look at tonight here in Deuteronomy. Oh, what a great command. How You want us to love You with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And Lord, I pray that we'll go out of here dedicated to do that, and that, Lord, we'll reap the benefits as we are the people that You want us to be. What a difference we'll see in our family. What a difference we'll see at work. What a difference we'll see at church. The whole world will look different. Lord, help us to take those steps tonight in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.